Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Great to be here today, and I so appreciate you being here today. I'm honored to be here. You ever notice how speakers are always glad to be where they're at? Wouldn't you like just one time a guy get up to say, I really hate being here today, but I had to do it. But I really am glad to be here today. I didn't know what to expect. I'm real good friends, as Brother Mark said. No one I respect and admire, and I don't have a closer friend than Dr. Mark Smith. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, but I really didn't know what to expect. And it kind of reminded me of a story of two seventh graders that were madly in love, and their parents started getting concerned about the relationship, and they said, perhaps we ought to invite this young man over for dinner one night because this is getting pretty serious. So they did, and the young couple said, that's neat. It'll kind of be like a first date. So the young boy goes down to the local drugstore, and he says to the local druggist in this small town, I want to get a 5-pound box of candy, a 3-pound box of candy, and a 1-pound box of candy. And he said, well, son, that's a strange request. Why would you want a 5-pound box of candy, a 3-pound box of candy, and a 1-pound box of candy? He said, well, I'm getting ready to go on my first date. And he said, I'm going to hide this candy as I go into the house. And he said, after the date's over, if she's nice to me, I'm going to give her the 1-pound box of candy. But if I get to hold her hand, I'm going to give the 3-pound box of candy. But if I really get to do what I want to do, and that's kiss her, I'm going to give her the 5-pound box of candy. He said, okay. So he takes the candy, goes to the house, hides the candy in the yard, knocks on the door. The mother comes to the door and says, son, come right on in. Dinner's on the table. He walks into the dining room, and the father says, let us pray. And the young man says, do you mind if I pray? And the father says, no, pray. And he prays, 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 and he prays. And finally, he finishes, and his girlfriend says, I didn't know you were so religious. And he said, I didn't know your dad was the town druggist. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. All right. Folks, I want to take a little while, and I want to talk to you about something very important. My scripture text is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is what the great apostle Paul said at Nero's chop block in Rome right before he was going to be beheaded. He said these words. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about finishing well. Finishing well. Recently, research taught us that there were 400 leaders in the Bible. 400 leaders. And if you search the lives of the 400 leaders in the Bible, 80 of them finish well. Only 20% of the leaders, even in the Bible, finished well. Billy Graham's organization tells us that for every 10 individuals that are age 21 that go into the ministry, for every 10 at age 21 that go into the ministry, at age 65, only 1 out of 10 is still in the ministry. Many of you, no doubt, are future pastors. 1,700 pastors every month walk away from the ministry. So I want to take just a little while and talk to you. Because listen to me, folks, I know you're young. But you're going to be remembered for how you finish. I'm going to be remembered for how we finish. And so, what do we need to do to finish well? Let me give you 10 quick points. Number one, place priority on private devotion. Place priority on private devotion. You know, David went up against a giant. Before he went up against that giant, he said, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of a bear. And he'll deliver this Philistine into my hand." Now, where was David at when God delivered him out of the paw of a lion and paw of a bear? He was all alone, just him and God. Here's what I don't want you to understand, young people. You'll never be any more for God in public than you are for God in private. You'll never be any more for God in public than you are for God in private. Your private devotion is so important. You know, if I ask you, how many of you believe in tithing, you'd raise your hand. But God showed me something. If God can do that with my money, why can't He do that with my time? And I've learned if I'll give God my time, He'll do amazing things in my life. See, if you give the Redeemer your time, the Redeemer will redeem your time. If you give the Redeemer your time, the Redeemer will redeem your time. So I'd say to you, place priority on private devotion. Mark 3 and 14 says, He ordained the 12 that they might be with Him. And then He sent forth them to preach and to cast out devils and to do ministry. But before He sent them to do, He just wanted them to be. If we're going to finish well, we got to place a priority on private devotion. Let me tell you, there's a second step if we're going to finish well. We've got to deflect praise. We've got to deflect praise. You know what's interesting? Jesus never said, "I am love." When He was describing Himself, He never said, "I am powerful." Jesus said this in Matthew 11 and 29. He said, "I am meek and lowly." How did Jesus describe Himself? He said, "I am meek and I am lowly." One Sunday I preached at Rock Springs Church, where I've been the pastor for 28 years, and I thought I did a pretty good job. We were driving home from church, and I said to my wife, I said, "Honey, how many really great preachers do you think there are in America?" She said, "One less than you do." And this is what I've learned about life. Bill Gothard taught me that you better learn to deflect praise. You better learn to deflect praise. Whatever ministry you're in, you better learn to deflect praise, ladies and gentlemen, or it will destroy you. I remember before they opened the Billy Graham Library, I was spending some time with Franklin Graham. And I said, "Franklin, I can't wait to go to your father's library." He said, "Benny, I wish you could have been with me when I took Dad through it for the first time." He said, "I took Dad through the first library the first time. And I said, what did your dad say? What did Billy Graham say about his library there in Charlotte after touring it the very first time?" He said, "This is what Dad said. Too much about me and not enough about him." And Franklin then said to me, "But Benny, if there was one picture in the place of Dad, as far as my daddy was concerned, it was too much about him." Let me tell you something. If we're going to finish well, we got to place priority on private devotion. We've got to deflect praise. But let me tell you, number three, you've got to be accountable to reliable people. You've got to be accountable to reliable people. Now, I know what that may mean to your life. I'll tell you what it means in my life. It means I never travel alone. It means the church hired a person just to be with me. so I'm never alone. Somebody said, I'm accountable to God. You listen to me very closely. That's not enough. We all need to be accountable to reliable people. Number four, be squeaky clean regarding finances. Be squeaky clean regarding finances. There's a reason why, folks, there's 500 verses in the Bible on faith, 500 verses in the Bible on prayer, and 2,300 verses in the Bible on finances. Be squeaky clean regarding finances. A dollar bill is the best yardstick for measuring the character of any individual. Be squeaky clean regarding it. Number five, if we're going to finish well, maintain sexual purity. Maintain sexual purity. Billy Graham said, the devil gets 75% of God's best servants through sexual temptation. The devil gets 75% of God's best servants through sexual temptation. Young men, I say to you, it's something for the most part that you're going to battle. You say, well, Brother Benny, I don't battle it. Well, you're wiser than Solomon, godlier than David, and stronger than Samson, and I can't wait to shake your hand once we finish. Maintain sexual purity. One out of four searches on Google is to a pornographic site. Howard Hendricks researched 600 leaders that had fallen morally. Howard Hendricks said there was three common denominators in all those 600 leaders that had fallen morally. Number one, they said it would never happen to me. Number two, they were not having private devotions. Number three, they were not accountable. Number six, if we're going to finish faithful, come to terms with another success. Come to terms with another success. I was with a national minister. If I called his name, every person in the room would know his name. I was on a golf course with him. I don't golf, I was just riding with him. I'd golf if you could do it in 20 minutes. It's just not me. Maybe just too hyper. I told my wife the other day, I said, I've taken some cold medicine. I said, it's made me so hyper. She said, my goodness, how can you tell? And he said to me, he said, Brother Benny, do you find yourself being jealous of other ministers? I said, no, I don't. I really don't. Because see, this is what I've learned. Be who you is, because if you is who you ain't who you is. That's deep, amen? God made you wonderful. God made you unique. Why would you want to try to be somebody's? Why would you want to try to fit in when God wants you to stick out? God made you special. You're somebody. Yeah, I'm not deep, but I'm not stuck. Amen. But he said, Brother Benny, do you struggle with the success of others? And I said, no. Because see, it's what got Saul in trouble. Because the people would say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. Come to terms with another success. Number seven, be a giver. Be a giver. When you give flowers to other people, it always leaves a fragrance in your hand. Givers always have more than enough. Takers never have enough. Be a giver. Give of your time. Give of your talent. Give of your personality. Give of your skills. Be a giver, folks. Look for ways to give. Number eight, live in total forgiveness. Live in total forgiveness. 28 years ago, I became the pastor of the church, Rock Springs Church. It's in Georgia. Anybody from Georgia? Good. A few people. A few people. Okay, it's in Georgia. 28 years ago. And folks, during this time, I mean, I started with 25 people. No resources, no money. Literally, when I first went there as pastor, to supplement my income, I sold furniture. I sold my living room suit, my bedroom suit, my dining room suit, literally. But I want you to know something. The church now has 6 campuses. They drop screens and I preach from screens in our campuses. Over 7,000 people there. But I want you to get this down. For years, I was in chains. And what I mean by I was in chains, folks, even though the church experienced that kind of growth, there were certain people who fought me every inch of the way. Now, I want you to understand something. Anywhere there's opportunity, there's opposition. Anywhere there's motion, there's friction. Somebody said, oh, we changed something at our church, or we changed something at our university, and nobody got upset. Let me tell you something. When you change something and nobody got upset, you really hadn't changed nothing. Amen? Because the only person who likes change is a wet baby. We okay, Brother Bill? All right. I don't know if y'all gonna have me back. All right. But there's people literally fought me all the way, especially one individual. And my wife, on one occasion, I wrote the book, Happy Wife, Happy Life. I wrote that book because this is what I've learned. If mama ain't happy, there ain't nobody happy. And if daddy ain't happy, there ain't nobody cares. And on one occasion, one of those individuals' names was mentioned. And I said to my wife, Brother Bill, I said, I'm over that. I'm past that. She said, well, I want to ask you something. If you're past it, why every time his name's mentioned, does your countenance change? Sister, I just want to slap her in Jesus' name. But she rung my bell. And I knew she was right. And I knew there was things in my heart. See, I want you to get up real close. Get up real close. That's it. You're doing good. You know how Joseph was betrayed by his brothers? Remember that? They did him so wrong. So wrong. And then there came this time when he was going to reveal himself. He was going to reveal himself to his brothers. Remember that? Your Bible students, remember? This is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And you know what Joseph said? Before I reveal myself, empty the room out. Now wait. If Joseph had revealed there in Egypt what his brothers had done to him, oh, it would have been those guys' tooth fairy would have needed a wheelbarrow, amen? It would have been sad. But Joseph said, before I reveal myself, I want to empty this room out. You listen to me very closely. You're not living in total forgiveness if you're still talking about what's been done to you. You're not living in total forgiveness if you're still talking about what's been done to you. You hadn't emptied the room out. Joseph emptied the room out. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to finish faithful, we got to live in total forgiveness. Let me give you number 9. I'm almost done. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. Number 9. Be a thankful person. Be a thankful person. Thankful people live longer. Lee Robinson, the gentleman that started Tennessee Temple years ago, Dr. Lee Robinson always wore a double-breasted suit. They asked him, "Dr. Robinson, if you could live your life over, what would you do different?" He said, "If I could live my life over, I'd be more thankful." Live a life, folks. Folks, don't be grumbly hateful. Be humbly grateful. Be thankful. I read about a lady who got up one morning. She had 3 hairs on her head. And she said, "You know, I believe I'll braid my hair today." She gets up the next morning. She's got 2 hairs on her head. She said, "You know, I believe I'll part my hair in the middle." She gets up the next morning. She's got 1 hair on her head. She said, "You know, I believe I'll wear my hair in a ponytail." She gets up the next morning. She's totally bald. She said, "Thank God I don't have to do my hair today." You say, "Oh, but Pastor Benny, I can't even pay my bills." Thank God you're not one of your creditors. Amen? Oh, folks, from the day of your birth to the ride in the hearse, things are never so bad that they couldn't be worse. There's always something to thank God for. Thank God for dirty dishes, for they have a tale to tell. With home, health, and happiness, we're doing very well. By the stack of evidence before us, God's been very good to us. Oh, folks, let me give you the last point, and I'm stick a fork in me, I'm done. Number 10, always keep your word and be honest. Always keep your word and be honest. I'm talking about integrity. I'm talking about integrity. As I was driving in last night, I was coming to Dr. Mark Smith's home, and I went by Chick-fil-A. The gentleman who started Chick-fil-A was a good friend of mine, Mr. Truett Cathy. His son, who's the president now, is a good friend of mine, Dan Cathy. And to be transparent with you folks, I don't mean this to boast, but I'm on a fast right now. Our church launches in January on a fast, but just thinking about Chick-fil-A. Listen, you could put one of them Chick-fil-A sandwiches on top of my head, Brother Bill, and my tongue would beat my brains out right now. But I remember on one occasion, Mr. Truett and Dan was at the church, and we was walking out the door. I was walking out the door with Dan, and I said to Dan, I said, "Dan, I want you to know something. I've got all kind of respect for your dad. I really admire Mr. Truett." And he said these words. He said, "Well, Benny, he raised me. He raised me. And he said, I'll just tell you this. There's more in the warehouse than there is in the showroom. There's more in the warehouse than there is in the showroom. What is integrity? It's more in the warehouse than there is in the showroom." Tell you, in conclusion, you know, my daughter, I remember when she was small, a little girl stayed all night with her, and I made that statement. I said, in conclusion, that little girl really didn't go to church, and she leaned over to my daughter, Savannah Abigail, and she said, "What does it mean when your daddy says, in conclusion?" And Savannah said, "Absolutely nothing." But listen, I promise, Brother Mark, I promise it does mean something in conclusion. I leave you with a true story of a runner from Tanzania. And this runner from Tanzania was in the Olympic Games at the Olympic Stadium. And the runner was running in the race, true story. and fail. Messed up the leg real bad. And the leg started bleeding. And after the runner, after he got his leg okay, I guess, but it was still just bleeding profusely, he got up and started running the best he could. The race actually was over. The race, they declared who won, and a couple hours later, the old runner from Tanzania finished the race with a banged up knee. And they interviewed the runner and they asked the runner, "Why didn't you just stop?" And he said these words. He said, "My country didn't send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish the race." Young people, what I desire for you is what I desire for me. It's what I desire for the faculty, is that we finish well. We keep on going. Somebody said, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. You may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that you must not quit. Let's finish well. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.